हरे कृष्णा, वेलकम बैक टू द महाभारत कैरेक्टर सीरीज. वी विल डिस्कस नाउ अबाउट द सेकंड कैरेक्टर इन द उपपांडव जनरेशन. वी डिस्कस्ड अबाउट अभिमन्यु, नाउ विल डिस्कस अबाउट घटोत्कच, द हीरोइक सन ऑफ भीमा. वन ऑफ द कैरेक्टरिस्टिक्स ऑफ द महाभारत इज दैट इट ब्लर्स द लाइन्स बिटवीन गुड एंड ईविल. So, whereas in the Ramayana we have Rakshasas who are evil and humans who are good, in the Mahabharata, on both sides there are Manavas, and Duryodhana is a Manava with a Danava mentality. He's of course a result of the Danava's prayers, but he's a Manava in body and a Danava in mentality. And there are people who are virtuous who are on the side of vice also. So, Duryodhana is in the human form but is vicious, and there are others who are virtuous but are on his side, like Bhishma and Drona and Kripa, and to some extent Ashwatthama also. And also there are people who are in Rakshasa bodies who are virtuous. Normally Rakshasas are considered vicious, but there are Rakshasas who are virtuous, and Ghatotkach is a prime example of this. We have in the Srimad Bhagavatam the example of Prahlad. Prahladavschasmi daityanam. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that among the daityas I am Prahlad. Now it's interesting that Prahlad, though he was born from Hiranyakashipu, he never had the form of a Rakshasa. He was born in a demon's family, but he was always a gentle, loving, kind-hearted and very sweet-looking person. So he's an exception of being born in the Rakshasa family and having a divine devotional mentality, and the foremost among such examples. So there's Dhritarasur also, who was born from a Brahmana, in the sense that he was born from a fire, Tvashta. Tvashta's did a yajna and invoked. He was born and he had a Rakshasa form, but he had a human, he had a devotional disposition. So he acted according to his Rakshasa mentality, Rakshasa body, and his Rakshasa role as he was expected. And he fought against the Devatas. But eventually, when death came and he was confronted with Narayana Kavacha, then his devotional disposition came out. And he told Indra, kill me. And when you kill me, he says, I don't know, I no longer want to live. I'm simply feeling intense separation from my Lord, just as a bird, ajat pakshayumataram khagaha, just as a bird feels separation from, a baby bird feels separation from its mother, a calf feels separation from its cow, mother, and a lover feels separation from her beloved Lord, beloved husband. So like that I'm feeling separation. So just let me shoot this Narayanastra, kill me, and then I will give up this body and go back to the abode of Lord Narayan. So there also we see the boundaries being blurred with a Rakshasa, with a devotee being in a Rakshasa body. Now in the Mahabharata, we have Ghatotkach who is virtuous, and he is heroic, he is not demoniac. He is not vicious, but he is in a Rakshasa body. And the Pandavas, being Kshatriyas, they have many wives. And Arjuna has several wives. Bhima also has several wives. But this is the only sort of cross race match we can see. Not cross race in the sense of human race, but a human race and a Rakshasa race. So such matches were not unheard of, but they were also uncommon. They were rare. So Bhima and Hidimbi got married when the Pandavas were in exile for the first time. So Hidimbi was attracted to Bhima, and although Bhima killed her brother Hidimba, actually Hidimbi did not share her brother's evil mentality. And because they were in Rakshasa body and because she was with her brother, so she was also... her brother used to kill humans and other things. There was Rakshasa, the blood they eat flesh and blood, and she was also living with him at that time. But when she saw Bhima, you know, it was not just that she was attracted to her physically. Yes, she was, but along with that, initially wanted to protect Bhima. He says, my brother is very dangerous. Let's go away from here. He says, and Bhima said, I cannot leave my brothers and mother. He says, then I'll take them all with you. I will go away so that you won't have to be butchered by my brother. Bhima said, don't worry. I can kill anyone, and I'm not going to disturb my brothers and my mother, especially, who is tired and is resting. So Hidimbi was... he felt, what is the stupidity? You know, what is sleep as compared to death? I'm talking, my brother will kill you. He looked at Bhima, he was powerful, definitely, but, you know, one Manava was never matched to a Rakshasa, that's what he thought. But then Hidimba came, and then there was a fierce fight, and Bhima overpowered him. And he killed him. Now Hidimbi, she was virtuous, and she saw here, she was in her own way virtuous, and she saw in her own here an opportunity to wed the virtuous Bhima. And so she kept following her. She did not get angry with him that you have killed my brother. She knew that that's fair game. If the Rakshasa would have killed Bhima, and if Bhima had not killed him, he would have been killed. So Bhima had acted simply in self-defense. And she did not blame Bhima. And then she actually exhibited a knowledge of Dharma. Initially, Bhima was suspicious that why is this Rakshasi following? Does she want to take revenge? So he realized that is not her intention. Then he was not afraid of her, but he was just concerned. And he tried to threaten her. But then she very intelligently came to Kunti, and he said that, you know, I am afflicted by desire. And he says, I want to wed your husband, your son. Without him, I cannot live. You know, then this match is not against scripture. If a woman comes for shelter, she must be accepted. And this is duty of Kshatriya to give shelter. And when she started quoting scripture and explaining, Yudhishthira was also impressed. And now Hidimbi, she had a Rakshasi body, but she also could assume a very attractive form. She was an attractive form. And seeing that Bhima was also not above her sidelong glances, Yudhishthira and Kunti both sanctioned it. And then they got married and they stayed together. So he said, he took them to a high mountainous area, and there Bhima and Ghatotkacha Hidimbi sported with each other. And after 7 months, Ghatotkacha was born. And Ghatotkacha was a cross of a Rakshasa and a Manava. So he had the body of a Rakshasa, but he had a virtuous nature. Hidimbi had some dharmic qualities, and Bhima, of course, was dharmic. And Ghatotkacha got dharmic qualities that way. And the name Ghata Utkacha. So Kacha is hair, Utkacha is having no hair, and Ghata is pot. Ghata means pot. So Ghata Utkacha means one who is bald headed like a pot. So Ghatotkacha was completely bald, and he had hair that were erect like arrows. You know, and within a short days, he grew up and he became a giant, very formidable. He had knotted muscles and fangs coming out whenever he wanted, and his eyes were fierce, and he had hair rising from his body, and a thunderous roar which would cause terror in the hearts of those who heard it. And despite his ferocious appearance, some could say even his appearance was hideous, but despite his alarming appearance, he had a charming heart, actually. A very loving service disposition. And Bhima naturally loved his son. All the other Pandavas also showed affection on him. And under the expert training of the Pandavas, he learned weapons and warfare quickly. And he became expert in all weapons, but like his father, he was especially expert in mace fighting. And he also, because of his formidable prowess, he was also very good at wrestling itself. And then he stayed with the Pandavas, serving them in various ways. And then eventually he felt restless. He wanted to be in the company of other Rakshasas and Yakshas. So he asked for permission from Bhima and said that I would like to go northwards and I will appear whenever you call me. I'll appear whenever you just think of me, and by mystic powers I'll come to know that you're thinking of me, and I'll come immediately whenever you need. So please don't hesitate to call me, he said, and he left. And then after some time, then the Pandavas also realized that they had to leave, and then Bhima and Hidimbi separated. The Bhima and Ghatotkacha and Hidimbi would meet occasionally, but the Pandavas were involved, then they again had to go to exile. And then when they were in exile, as they were, Arjuna went to heavens, and then the remaining Pandavas decided to go to Gandhamad and to up the Himalayan mountains, so that they could see the holy places and gain piety, by increase their piety by living in the holy places. So as they were climbing up, at it was a very rocky and tough terrain. It was an exhausting climb, and Draupadi, she was determined to follow her husband's wherever the call of duty demanded, but her body couldn't take it, and she, out of exhaustion, collapsed and fainted. And behind her, Sahadev was there and Nakula. They both caught her and they brought some water and sprinkled water. And she slowly came back to consciousness. But Yudhishthir was grief-struck. He says, how unfortunate this tender lady who was, tender princess who was born in prosperity and royalty, is now suffering because having to undergo such austerities and suffering such bodily inconveniences and troubles. How unfortunate it is. So Bhima also controlled his anger and distress, anger at the Pandav, at the Kauravas for having caused this distress on Draupadi and all of them. And he turned to Yudhishthir and he said, oh king, allow me to summon Ghatotkach. He is powerful and he can take us through these mountains. So Yudhishthir agreed, and Bhima just thought of Ghatotkacha, and immediately Ghatotkacha appeared over there, and he offered his respects to Bhima, and then he turned around and saluted the other Pandavas also. And he turned to Yudhishthir and he says, please tell me what I can do for you. And Yudhishthir told that we are planning to go to Ghatotkacha. Can you carry, Draupadi is completely exhausted. So Ghatotkacha looked at her as son would look at his mother. He said, I will carry the Draupadi, and I have got hundreds of Rakshasa associates with me. So they will carry all of you, and they will carry all the Brahmins also with it. Now initially Yudhishthir had been feeding large number of Brahmins, but when they started going in the northern direction, Yudhishthir told that those of you who will not be able to do severe austerities, you don't come with us. So only a handful, only a small number of Brahmanas were there, but still they were also a significant number. And Ghatotkacha called his Rakshasa associates, and they all came there. And Ghatotkacha carried Draupadi himself, and the other Rakshasas carried the other Brahmins. And Lomashrishi rose, who was leading the expedition, he rose by his own mystic power, and eventually they went to Gandhamadan. When they came to a place where there was a clearing and they decided to stay there, Yudhishthir told Ghatotkacha that you and his associates stay with us till we are here, and again when we go down, you can escort us down and then you can leave. So Ghatotkacha agreed. And Ghatotkacha and Bhima, that was the time when they stayed together. Yudhishthir arranged for this so that the father and son could be together. And they would sport in the mountains, and they would hunt, and they would have various adventures. And Ghatotkacha was ready to do whatever service was required for the Pandavas. And at another time, when at the request of Draupadi to get 1,000 petaled lotus, when Bhima had gone up to Kubera's gardens at Saugandhika, so Yudhishthir saw an auspicious omens, because Bhima had been fighting with the guard, with the guardians of the garden, and realizing that there would be trouble soon, Yudhishthir knew that for them to climb up that mountain would be extremely difficult. Bhima, with his formidable strength and vigor, had charged up, and it had taken him still a considerable amount of time to reach. Yudhishthir realized this was an emergency. They had to go immediately. So he called Ghatotkacha and told them, can you take us to Saugandhika? Now Ghatotkacha, being a Rakshasa with mystic powers, he had wandered various parts of the universe. He had already been there several times and he knew the way. And immediately he took Draupadi on her shoulder, on his shoulders, and he took the others, other Rakshasas took the other Pandavas, and they went up quickly. So then they stayed near in Kuvera's gardens area for some time, and eventually when the Pandavas came down, so there also Ghatotkacha performed various services. Eventually when the Pandavas came down, Arjuna returned from heavens, and the Pandavas stayed there for some time, and then they returned from there back to the Kamyaka. They decided to go with the last 2 years of their exile remaining. And at that time, Yudhishthir told, dismissed Ghatotkacha, and Ghatotkacha departed. Then eventually, Ghatotkacha reappears in the Mahabharata at the start of the Kurukshetra War. At the start of the Kurukshetra War, Bhima called Ghatotkacha, and Ghatotkacha eagerly came to fight with the Pandavas against the Kauravas. So Ghatotkacha was the leader of the Rakshasa division among the Pandavas, and there was another Rakshasa on division on the side of the Kauravas, and it was led by Alambush. Alambush was the brother of Baka and the son of Jata. The Jatasura and Bakasura, but both Asuras had been killed by Bhima, and Alambush wanted to take revenge, so he joined Duryodhana's forces. So these were the two Rakshasa divisions which would collide on several occasions in the Mahabharata war. Now Ghatotkacha also had a son, Anjaniparva, who also joined his father in the war, and he had another son through Airavati whose name was Barbarika. Now Barbarika, whose mother was also known as Maulvi, she had trained him also in virtue, and he was a formidable warrior. Now he had been blessed by, he had done austerities and been blessed by Lord Shiva. Barbarik had got three arrows, and from Agni he had got a formidable bow. And the three arrows were such that those three arrows could destroy everyone. The Barbarik story doesn't come in the Mahabharata, it comes in the Skanda Puran as well as other Puranas. And Barbarik is also worshipped, known by the name Ghatushyam. And Barbarik was a formidable warrior. Now he, with his three arrows, were so powerful that with his first arrow, he would just target whoever he wanted to kill. And if he decided, okay, these people I don't want to kill, second arrow would sort of untarget them. And the third arrow would shoot and it would kill. So it's like in a computer, when we want to delete some items, we do Control A. Then all the items get selected. And then we decide, okay, maybe these four, five files I don't want to delete. So we untick them. And then we press the delete button. Then all the files except the untick ones get deleted. So like that, the first arrow was meant to tick, Control All, Control A. And then second arrow was to have the exception. And third arrow was to kill. And these three arrows, he could kill anyone. So now being trained in virtue by his mother, so he said that I will also join the Kurukshetra war and I will fight on the weaker side. Now when he decided to fight on the weaker side, he thought, which side is weaker? Okay, the Kauravas have 11 Akshahuni and the Pandavas have 7 Akshahuni. So the Pandava side is weaker. Therefore, I should join the Pandava side. But then it's also said that he heard that, oh, Krishna is on the side of the Pandava. So Krishna is far, far greater than everyone else. So if Krishna is greater than everyone else, then the Kauravas will become more powerful. So then should I join the side of the Kauravas? Sorry, the Pandavas will become more powerful than the Kauravas because of Krishna's presence. Then should I join the side of the Kauravas? Because undecided and thinking like this. So then Krishna decided to test the strength of Barbarik and test his virtue also. So when Barbarik was coming along, marching towards the Kurukshetra war field, so Krishna had asked the various warriors, on the other side, Duryodhana had also asked, who will take how much time to kill the entire army? And different warriors had given different estimates. Some had said 20 days, some had said 1 month, some had said 10 days, like that. So when Krishna asked Barbarik, he said that I can kill everyone in one moment with just one arrow. So Krishna laughed and he said, how is it possible that you can kill with one arrow? Now we have to understand this whole thing is a leela which is meant to demonstrate a particular truth. We'll discuss what the truth is. So, Barbarik had been a yaksha in his previous life. And he'd been a very powerful yaksha. So, when Brahmaji had been praying to, when the Danavas had, Rakshas had one time overrun the earth. So, Brahmaji had gone to pray to Vishnu. And Vishnu was about to appear. And when Vishnu said that he will appear, and Brahmaji was conveying the news to Devata. So, yaksha said, what is the news for, what is the need for Vishnu to appear? He says, who are the demons you tell me? I will kill them myself. There's no need for Vishnu to appear. So now Brahma, he had done such a Herculean deed. Actually, praying to the Supreme Lord is no easy thing to do. To chant the Purushukta prayers, to actually go into a deep mood of devotional surrender and invoke the presence of the Lord. And then to actually have a personal communication with him and to be able to charge the responsibility of conveying that communication to the rest of the gods. It's a huge responsibility, it's a huge privilege. So Brahmaji felt hurt at the impetuosity, the insolence of this yaksha, and he said, because you are so proud of your power, so when Vishnu appears, he will kill you first. So now what happened hereafter was the unfolding of that curse of Brahmaji. So now, when Krishna said, oh, really, you can kill everyone with one arrow? And he said, you are going to the forest with only three arrows. How can you kill an entire, so not forest, the battlefield. How can you kill with three arrows? So then, now Krishna had disguised himself as a Brahmana over here. And he was having this conversation. So then Barbarik told him the power of the three arrows. And Krishna said, okay, can you demonstrate? He said, yes. So he said, okay, you see the trees, this tree, all the leaves in the tree. Can you with one arrow destroy all the leaves in this tree? He said, sure, I can do that. And then he just closed his eyes to invoke the mantra. And at that time, for shooting the arrows, and at that time, Krishna secretly took one leaf and hid it under his leaf, under his feet. And as he charged the first arrow, and the first arrow was just meant to set the target. And the first arrow not only marked all the leaves over there, it marked all, it went and started marking Krishna's feet also. And then Krishna asked, why is it marking my feet like this? Oh, Barbarik said, there must be an arrow under this feet, under your feet. And he looked and the arrow was actually there. And then Barbarik shot the third arrow, and then all the leaves everywhere, including the leaf near Krishna's feet, was pierced. And Krishna was impressed. And he realized that with Barbarik on the battlefield, even if Krishna decided to hide the Pandavas, his arrows were so precise that even if now Barbarik did not know that there was a leaf under Krishna's feet, but the mantras which he had, the power he had, by the arrow would know. And the arrow would target that also. So whoever enemies Barbarik decided to kill, so he would kill. Surely. So then Krishna asked Barbarik, this is impressive. He says, on whose side are you going to fight? He said, I told my mother I'll fight on the weaker side. So then Krishna said, do you realize what this means? If you fight on the weaker side, that would mean that you say come on the Pandava side. But just by your presence on the Pandava side, you are so powerful that the Kaurava side will become weaker. And because the Kaurava side has become weaker, while you are fighting with the Pandava, suddenly it will be that the Kauravas have become weaker. So you will have to go on their side. And because of you being on their side, the Pandavas will become weaker. And then you have to come on the Pandavas side. And in this way, basically, you will just have to oscillate. And in the end, you will destroy both armies. So Barbarik became thoughtful. And he is already pondering with whom I should fight. On whose side I should fight. So he had not yet decided that. And then Krishna told him, as in the Brahman, he says, I am a Brahman, I need some charity from you. He said, yes, please tell me, what charity do you want? So Krishna said, I want your head. Barbarik was shocked. He said, he realized things are not as they seem to be. He asked, who are you? Please tell me who you are. Then Krishna revealed his a partial version of his universal form and revealed to him his supreme glory. And Krishna told him that for the war to commence and for the war to succeed, you know, the greatest kshatriya needs to, greatest hero on the both sides needs to sacrifice. So for that sacrifice, we need your head. Now, what is, we may wonder, you know, how, what is the point of this kind of sacrifice? Is it heard of? The point was that Krishna had a special plan to relieve Barbarik of his curse and to free him from whatever remnants of the demoniac mentality that he may have had. As a Yaksha, he had a demoniac mentality. Being born of Bhima, that demoniac mentality had decreased and virtue had come up. That's why he wanted to favor the weak, unlike the normal Rakshasa mentality, to exploit the weak, to prey on the weak. But still, whatever residual was, things were there. You know, purification takes time. It may sometimes take multiple lifetimes. And, you know, in this life, everyone has to die. How one dies is not as important as for in what consciousness one dies, for what one purpose, for what purpose one lives, and what, especially for what purpose one dies. So Krishna wanted to purify and liberate Barbarika. So when Krishna told this, Barbarika said, yes, if that will guarantee the victory of my grandfathers, then surely I will do that happily. But then he said, I have a request. I have seen your Vishwarupa. Now I want to see this battle also. So please bless me so that I will be able to see this battle. So Krishna said, yes. He said, I will grant your head. Your head will continue to live even if your body is, even if it is cut off from the body. And then Bhargarik gallantly gave charity of his head. He just himself cut off his head and the head came to Krishna. And this way Bhargarik became completely liberated. And after he became liberated, Krishna took the head and placed it on a hill which is overlooking the Kurukshetra battlefield. And there Barbarik got to see Krishna again display his universal form when Krishna did it to Arjuna while speaking the Bhagavad Gita. And then he saw the full Kurukshetra war, as was his heart's desire. And then after that, when there was a discussion among various warriors after the war got over, that who had been the greatest warrior, who had caused the ultimate destruction. So Krishna decided that let us ask Barbarika. All of us were fighting at different places and we did not get a complete picture of the war. So it was decided that let us go and ask Barbarika. And Barbarik's head was there beholding everything. And Barbarik said that actually I saw nothing but, you are saying that there were these warriors who fought this way, those warriors who fought that way. But he said, I saw one thing only. What did I see? I saw Krishna with the Sudarshan Chakra. And I saw Krishna in the form of a Vishwarupa with many hands, many legs, many heads. And especially the Sudarshan Chakra, he was killing everyone. And then everyone understood on hearing this that actually Krishna had been the doer. So as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Mayai vaite nihita purvameva nimitta matram bhavasavyasachi. Mayai vaite nihita. That by my arrangement all of them have been killed, you simply become an instrument. So it was, so that what Krishna told in the Bhagavad Gita, that Barbarik had the vision to see. Now he did see his father and his grandfather performing heroic deeds and the Pandavas doing heroic deeds. But he saw that they were all empowered by Krishna. And it is because of the empowerment by Krishna that they were able to do these things. So Krishna arranged for the deliverance of this entire family of Rakshasas. Barbarik was delivered in this way. So he was able to sacrifice his life and become a martyr for the cause of virtue. And not only did he sacrifice life, but he also got to behold the opulence of Krishna in many ways. And that itself was supremely purifying and was a supreme blessing. And how Krishna arranged for the purification and redemption of Ghatotkac, Barbarik's father, we will discuss in our next session. Thank you. Hare Krishna.